John 13, and let's read from verse 15 through verse 17. It says, "For I have given you an example," and Jesus is the one speaking here, "that ye should do as I have done to you." And the most recent context speaks of Jesus washing the feet of the disciples. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord." This would refer to the disciples and the Lord Jesus Christ. "Neither he that is sent greater than he that sent him," which again could be a reference to the disciples and Jesus Christ who was sending them, or even a reference to God the Father who sent the Son, Jesus Christ. And then it says in verse 17, "If you know these things, happy are ye if you do them." And I want to preach a message tonight that I have entitled very simply, "Happy." Recently, and I think I referenced this in a message Sunday, I've noticed a number of people say and post things on Facebook about happiness. They appear to conclude that life is all about being happy. But is it? And if it is, how is happiness obtained? On Facebook, and I don't know, some of you may not understand how Facebook works, but you have friends, you know, you invite them, or they ask to be your friend, and you know, throughout the day, they can just write something on their board, and it shows up on, you know, all their friends' wall. So they see it. And you can comment on it. You can hit like. Or you could remove the post, I guess, if you don't like it. But on Facebook, and sometimes people see something, and they like it, and so they will take it, and they'll post it on their wall. And so many times you'll see the same thing posted by different people over and over again. And on Facebook, recently I've noticed a lot of people posting something like this. I didn't go back and get it word for word, but this is in essence what they say. There comes a time in your life when you have to leave certain people behind and surround yourself with those who love you. You have to do what makes you happy, because life is just too short to not enjoy it. And so, as is the case with everything, as I see that post, I ask myself, is such an attitude biblical? Is life all about being happy? You know, I've often heard preachers make a distinction between happiness and joy. They'll say that happiness is dependent upon circumstances, but joy is not. And maybe there's some truth to that. I don't know. There is. The Bible does use the word joy as one of the elements of the fruit of the Spirit. The Bible uses the word blessed more often than it does the word happy, but the word happy is found a number of times in the Bible. Matter of fact, it's found 28 times in 25 verses. It's used 22 times in the Old Testament and 6 times in the New Testament. And the Greek word that's translated happy in the New Testament is also translated 43 times blessed, including the Beatitudes of Matthew chapter 5. And so this demonstrates the similarities between those two words, blessed and happy. And so what I began to do was to take a look at all of the references in the Bible to the word happy, to try to determine what it is biblically that can make a person happy. Now let me say though, before I give those to you, I don't know that the purpose of life is to be happy. That does not mean that we cannot or will not be happy. But I'll say this, if your purpose in life is to be happy, and doing the will of God does not make you happy, then you're liable to step outside the will of God to please yourself. And in the end, what will happen, because you're not doing the will of God, is you won't be happy either. According to the Bible, what makes you happy? There's a number of points, so it may take me a little bit to get through them, but I have not really elaborated on them in depth, and so let's just look and see how the Bible uses the word happy and what it says we need to do in order to be happy. In Deuteronomy 33:29, it says this, "Happy art thou, O Israel." Again, we're applying this particular principle to New Testament believers because it's addressed directly to Old Testament Israel. "Happy art thou, O Israel, who is like unto thee?" And God says in the Old Testament that there was no nation like the nation of Israel. They were unique in their relationship to God and their possession of the Word of God. And he says, "O people saved by the Lord." Saved by the Lord. They were saved from servitude, from bondage in Egypt, were they not? And you know, in order for a person to truly be happy in life, they're going to have to be saved. Because a person who's not saved carries around with them a burden of sin and a burden of guilt, by the way. And that's why Jesus said, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest." And he said that his burdens are light. And when someone comes to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, that burden of their sin is lifted. And then they're in a place where they can be happy in life. But I don't know that someone can truly, long-term, be happy without first being saved. Psalm 144:15 says, "Happy is that people that is in such a case. Yea, happy is that people whose God is the Lord." Happy is that people whose God is the Lord. God says very clearly, does he not, that if you want to be happy, he's going to have to be your Lord. In Proverbs 16:20, it says, "He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." You got to trust in the Lord if you want to be happy. But notice that last verse, though. I think most of you understand by now how Hebrew poetry is written in parallel thoughts. It says, "He that handleth a matter wisely." You handle the matter, whatever it might be, if you handle it wisely according to the precepts of the Word of God, shall find good. In other words, it'll bring forth a positive result. And that's the same idea in the second part of the verse. "And whoso trusteth in the Lord, happy is he." And again, this is just a generic principle, but apply it to all the areas of our life. If we will trust God, and that means relying on what he has told us to do. If we'll just go in the direction that he points us to go, he says we'll find happiness. But happiness to most people means doing what they want to do. This verse says just the opposite. If you want to be happy, you got to trust in the Lord. You got to do what he wants you to do. You got to be saved, okay? That's kind of my first point, though. I put these three verses under the heading, being saved or trusting the Lord. That brings happiness. How about this one? Psalm 127, verse 5. "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." And that pronoun "them" is referring to children. "Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them." Happy is the man that has a whole lot of children. In Genesis 30 and verse 13, Leah said, "Happy am I," when she became with child. And you'll find that's how her and Rachel felt over and over again when their womb was opened of the Lord and they were with child. They were happy. As a part of my job, I get to go around to our different buildings. And one day last week, I got to go to the POB building. That's one of the Union Hospitals buildings, but that's where our OB doctors are. And I even told my family, I said, "Boy, I got to go to the POB today with all the pregnant mommies running around, with all their big smiles. Children, having a lot of children, according to God, will make you happy. There's just nothing else in the world like your own children. There's nothing like it. There's no relationship that can compare to it. I guess maybe your marriage. Children bring happiness. Some people view them as a burden, as an inconvenience, as an expense. But they're much more than that. They have the ability to bring you happiness. Me and Bethany, we was watching videos, a couple videos last night. And anybody that lives online, you had to have seen it by now, because they call it viral when it, you know, goes everywhere, these videos. And it's just this little baby that's laughing hysterically at its dad ripping paper. And every time the dad rips the paper, the little baby just chuckles and chuckles. And there's nothing that can make you laugh harder than watching a little baby laugh. Children have the potential to bring us great happiness. How about this? Proverbs 3:13, "Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding." Proverbs 3:18, "She is a tree of life to them," wisdom that is, "that lay hold of her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her." Obtaining wisdom. And I'm talking about a specific type of wisdom, the wisdom of the Scriptures. When you obtain the wisdom of the Scriptures, when you understand the knowledge that is contained within this book, and by virtue of that, I think that means you also apply it to your life, it has the potential to bring you great happiness. Notice what the Queen of Sheba said in regards to Solomon's wisdom. "Happy are thy men, happy are these thy servants, which stand continually before thee, and that hear thy wisdom." That's repeated in 1 Kings and in 2 Chronicles. She said, "Boy, your people are blessed, Solomon, because they get to hear of your wisdom." And you know, I have to attest that this is true. One of the things that has brought me the greatest happiness in life is understanding the Scriptures and knowing that because I have incorporated certain biblical principles into my life, that it's brought forth positive results. And according to the Bible, what brings happiness? Being saved, having children, obtaining wisdom. And then Proverbs 14:21 says this, "He that despises his neighbor sinneth, but he that hath mercy on the poor, happy is he." Happy is the man that instead of despising his neighbor, oppressing the unfortunate, he extends mercy. I'm sure you've heard before, and probably mostly because of our text that I started with, people have said that happiness is not so much in other people serving you, but when you begin to serve other people, that's what brings happiness. I think sometimes people almost make themselves insane, becoming affixed on themselves. They're so consumed with themselves, and they're not giving any energy or effort into serving and helping other people, that it steals their happiness. But again, the world's thinking in general is if I want to be happy, I got to do what I want to do. I got to surround myself with people who love me. And that's what will bring me happiness. But God says, no, it's in showing mercy. It's in helping others. How about this one? Proverbs 29:18. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. He that keepeth the law, happy is he. What makes you happy? Obeying the scriptures. And that's what our text said. John 13:17. If you know these things, again, that's knowing them alone won't bring happiness. But it says, happy are ye if you do them. Again, looking at the book of Proverbs, wisdom's a wonderful thing, obtaining wisdom. Just being a subject of Solomon's empire was of a great benefit to the people of Israel. It made them happy because they had such a godly, such a wise leader whom they could learn from. But again, if you want to experience true wisdom or true happiness in your life, you're going to have to put that wisdom, that knowledge into practice. It's not enough to know the scriptures. The Pharisees knew the scriptures. The scribes knew the scriptures. But they didn't apply it to their lives in a practical way. And they weren't happy. How about this one? Romans 14:22. Hast thou faith? Have it to thyself before God. Happy is he that condemneth not himself in that which he alloweth. Perhaps a difficult verse, but putting it simply, you'll be happy if you act in accordance with your conscience. If you don't violate your conscience. It's going to be very difficult, no, impossible, for you to be happy if you continuously violate your conscience. Because you're not going to feel happy, you're going to feel guilty. And so until you begin acting in harmony with your conscience, that's based on what the scriptures teach or mom and dad taught you, you're not going to be happy. But the Bible says again, happy is he that condemneth not himself in that thing which he alloweth. In notice this one, Job 5:17. Behold, happy is the man whom God correcteth. Therefore despise not thou the chastening of the Almighty. How about this one? This one kind of seems a little backwards, but it will push me into where I want to conclude with this message. But happy is the man whom God correcteth. Receiving chastening, being disciplined by the Lord, makes you happy? Well, it does in the end. The book of Proverbs in chapter 3 talks about that same subject, and so does Hebrews chapter 12. And the reason it produces happiness is because in the end it brings forth peace in your life. Because when you're chastened and you're rebuked of God, you are declared by virtue of that to be a child of God, because God only corrects and chastens those whom are his children. He doesn't chasten the ungodly in the same way. They're not his children. He chastens his children. So when you're chastened, you're assured that you're a child of God. But then that chastening produces righteousness, which is peaceful, the book of Hebrews says. And that brings happiness. Have you ever found some of the happiest kids are the kids that just eagerly want to do what mom and dad want them to do? Now, maybe they didn't always feel that way, but they got chastened, they got disciplined a few times, and you know what? Now they just want to do what mom and dad says, and you know, they find when they just do what mom and dad says and they abide by their rules that their life is just wonderful. The only time they have problems is when they step over the boundaries that mom and dad have placed in their life. And folks, that's why Christians lose their joy and happiness. Because if they would just live their lives in the confines, within the boundaries that God has given us in His Word, we'd be happy. He will provide and protect us. care and nurture for us. It's only when we step outside of His will that He has to chasten us. But even when He chastens us, that can produce happiness because it brings us back into the fold. And there's one last one I put down. In James 5:11 it says, "Behold, we count them happy which endure." You have heard of the patience of Job and seen the end of the Lord, that the Lord is very pitiful and of tender mercy. By enduring or not quitting, we can experience happiness. And you know what? It would do us well to take this principle and to apply it to every area of our lives. Endure. Don't quit. Because Job didn't quit. You know what he found? Maybe not immediately, but in the end, he found happiness. God gave him back all of his substance. God gave him additional children. And we count Job a blessed man. A blessed man. Happy is the man which endures, that doesn't quit. Some people, you know, they start school, higher education, college, and they quit, and they give up prematurely. And you know what it does? Sometimes it robs them of happiness that they could have had if they would have just carried on. Sometimes people can't stand the pressures of a new job, and so they quit. They give up. And as a result, they lose out on happiness that they could have experienced if they would have just stayed the course. Some people give up on ministries, and as a result, never reap the blessings that God intended to send. Sometimes people give up on marriage. Sometimes people give up on tasks, and you children ought to learn at a young age that if you're given a task to do, to follow through with it till the very end. Whatever that task is. Loading the wood cart, washing the dishes, make it a habit today to keep going, to carry on, to not allow anything to deter you from the task that you've been given. Why? Because in the end, if you will endure, you'll find happiness. What will make you happy according to the Bible? Trusting God. Having children. Obtaining wisdom. Showing mercy. Obeying God. Acting with a clear conscience. Receiving chastening. And enduring. Or not quitting. This kind of leads me to something else I need to say. I heard a word, I think it was yesterday. It might have been the day before. I never heard the phrase used before. But on the radio, someone referenced the phrase delayed gratification. Anybody ever heard that phrase used before? We've probably heard the phrase instant gratification, haven't we? But I never really heard anybody talk about delayed gratification. Now Bible Christianity has talked about the concept since its inception. Jesus Christ spoke on delayed gratification. When we talk about instant gratification, we're talking about appeasing the flesh. We're talking about getting what brings us pleasure now. Now, delayed gratification would be putting off what we want. And on the radio, they were using the phrase to basically say, you know, we need to pay our way or serve our time before we reap the rewards for our labor. You know, they have something in our society that they call minimum wage. Most of you young people, your first job, you'll make minimum wage. That's the bottom of the barrel. That's as little as you can make, all right? In my day, when I started working, I got paid $3 an hour. That was below minimum wage, by the way. And he paid me for $3 an hour, and I guess until he legally had to pay me whatever it was, $3.35 an hour. He wanted to make sure I would stick around for however many weeks. And when I did, then he paid me minimum wage. But you know, when you work hard at that first job, they'll pay you more. And maybe you'll get so good at what you do, somebody else will want to hire you. Or maybe it's based on your education. And by the way, you don't receive instant gratification from the education you're receiving. You've got to work for 4 years in school. Then get out and work hard to find a job. And maybe even the job that you find, it does not pay you as much as you would like. But again, you get into that job and you show yourself skillful in an area. The company sees a benefit in you. Then you see the payday. But you don't always see it instantaneously. But you see it down the road. Again, within our society, maybe things are changing a little bit now because of the state of the economy. But it used to be everybody wanted everything and they wanted it now. And credit card companies, mortgage companies, and alike were eager to give you a means by which you could get everything right now, but it wasn't without a cost. And most of the times when people want instant gratification, they're going to have to pay the price, and it's going to be much steeper down the road. But maybe if we'll embrace this concept of delayed gratification, paying our dues, do it in the right order, instead of there being negative consequences in the future, there'll be positive. Let me read to you a couple of verses. Jeremiah 12:1. It says, "Righteous art thou, O Lord, when I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously?" What's Jeremiah saying here? He says, "God, I need to talk to you for a minute about your judgments. Because there are some things I just don't understand." And he says, how come the wicked are prospering? How come they're the ones that are happy? Was Jeremiah happy? He's the weeping prophet. No, he wasn't happy. So was he outside of the will of God? No, but that's why this positive only, let's all grin from ear to ear all our lives because everything is great. Their philosophy is not always right. He's the weeping prophet. Who were the ones that were happy in Jeremiah's day? The wicked. And sometimes that's the way it is. In the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 15, it says, "Now we call the proud happy." It's the proud, the arrogant, the haughty ones. Those that rebel against God, they were the ones that were happy. Not the children of God. And sometimes that's how it is in the short term. But it's not going to be that way in the long term. 1 Peter 3:14 says, "But if ye suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are ye." Seems to be a contradiction. If I'm suffering, and at the same time I can be happy, you can be happy because of what awaits you due to your faithful service for Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 4:14, "But if ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you." Again, many people choose instant gratification over delayed gratification. In other words, they choose to be happy now at the expense of being happy in eternity. And that's a very poor exchange. But it's hard to do the opposite. You know, it's hard to live a life of denial and sacrifice and service, not seeing very many rewards immediately. It's hard. But whenever you put it in light of eternity, it ought to become much easier. Because what we're doing in this life is for the next life. And I hope that some of you grab a hold of this. This life, while we can be happy, and we will be happy if we do some of the things that the Bible says we need to do in order to be happy, that's not what this life is about. This is a preparation. A preparation for your responsibilities in the kingdom of God. I can't remember what me and Brother Justin was talking about Sunday. But I told him, I said, you know, sometimes I think, because it doesn't appear that, let me back up for a second and say that I can see God molding me, maturing me, changing me, making me into what He wants me to be. And I see God doing that in the lives of other people, even in some of you. But obviously in my life, He's not preparing me to pastor some mega church somewhere. That does not appear to be the case. We may make it to 35 or 40 people before I die. All right? And so sometimes I'm thinking this through, and I'm thinking, it just don't make a whole lot of sense, God, for you to go through all this work just for 35 or 40 people. I mean, how much do I got to know to pastor 30? And so then I think to myself, what God is doing in my life must then be in preparation for not just this life, but for the next. And I'm telling you, if we do not keep our eyes fixed upon eternity, we will quit God for sure. Because in our generation, it's becoming increasingly more difficult to serve God faithfully without suffering for it. And I don't mean being whipped or lashed or have your head cut off. I just mean being ostracized. Not fitting in. Maybe even ridiculed. Because when those kind of things happen, you're not going to feel very happy. But you should. Because you're going to reap a whole lot of happiness in the days ahead. You see, instant gratification is selfish and fleshly. Delayed gratification is selfless and spiritual. And never exchange temporary, instant gratification for a more permanent and enduring happiness in the future. Does God want us to be happy? Absolutely. But you won't be happy in this life if you don't faithfully serve God. And you know what? You're going to miss out on an awful lot of happiness in the next if you don't serve Him faithfully here as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank You for Thy Word. Thank You for the instructions that it gives us concerning this subject of happiness. God, I pray that we might strive to incorporate the things that we've looked at tonight into our lives, that we could truly experience happiness. Lord, may we trust in Thee, and as a result, be happy. May we obey You. May we show mercy to others. Lord, may we have children. May some of these young people realize the blessings associated with having children. Lord, may we endure and not quit and give up on things, knowing that it will produce happiness in our lives. So God, take the things that were said tonight Use them for thy glory. Use them for the benefit of thy people. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.